I am here today with Shell Hughes, who's also known as Shell Hugs because we're amazing hugs. And Shell has been in the work for a little over a year, and she has so much to share with you in terms of her journey. And I just want to really hand it over to you, Shell. Thank you for being here today to share your journey so far in this process. And we are so blessed to be able to hear from you. And just please share just from your heart where you were when you came to this work, what you were dealing with, and what has happened so far for you.
Thank you, Natalia. I'm truly honored to be here, and I'm so grateful for all that you share. Being in this community just for over a year has been so life elevating for me. When I came into the community, I came in through Woman Unleashed. And so I was in January of 2024. And so we're just about to hit April 2025. So a little over a year. And I was really desperate when I got into the community for like, what next? I was taking a bunch of supplements, and I had been to, oh my goodness, I can't count how many like alternative health practitioners. In the year before I found this community, I was seeing someone, a nutritionalist, who was just like, more meat, more animal protein, more animal protein. And I had paid out of pocket to have extensive lab work done, even sending in like stool samples and everything. And nobody ever thought parasites. Like, it was not shared with me that it could be parasitical. And the answer was like, eat more. And I was eating more. And then I went through this, I listened to that advice for a while, and I was eating like meat 3 times a day, and I was getting thinner and weaker. And so I wasn't putting any weight on. I was aging rapidly. It was like, I was getting more gray hair. I was looking in the mirror and I'm like, I'm aging like very quickly. And my muscle, it's like I was atrophied. And so I could do yoga for an hour and not feel anything in my body. And so I let that go. And then I didn't have like a guide or a mentor or anyone that I felt was sharing anything that resonated with me. And so I was taking supplements, and still eating a lot and still feeling malnutritioned. I had chronic fatigue. I mean, at one point I could barely carry my laundry basket from downstairs to my bedroom upstairs. I just felt like I was dying in my physical body. And I looked that way also. And so when I was introduced to your community right away, I was like, there's magic here. Like, I could feel it in my body, and I knew like, this is for me. And so I jumped right in. I got the enema bag, and I started home enemas. And again, like I said, I came in January, and by like the second week of February, I was on a call with you, you know, having the interview to get the Enlightener sent. So as soon as I received that, I was just on it. And one thing about my personality is I tend to skip building the bridge, and I just like, phew. And so I did not start slow. I started with hour-long Enlightener sessions 5 to 7 days a week. And there was a 3-day super speed cleanse. And so I got into that, and I loved how I felt so much that I continued on with the lifestyle. So it was like I had from that point on. So I think this was March now. I did green juice in the morning, a beautiful salad in the afternoon for lunch, and then like steamed vegetables for dinner. And I'm so lucky because I have a supportive partner. So he just got right okay with the food change. He was like, okay, this feels good to me. So I had support in the house and we just continued eating this way. And I cut out caffeine, I cut out all processed foods, and I just held this diet. And by May, I became pregnant at 46 years old, and I had not been fertile in years. I had been intentionally during our lovemaking, like inviting in this soul that had communicated with me at some point, like, and it just wasn't happening. And so when it did happen, like I said, I was 46 years old, and I got to really enjoy the experience of a pregnancy that was intentionally co-created, because I had my son when I was 18 years old. And so it was a very different experience. You know, I was 17 when I got pregnant. I delivered 12 weeks premature. I was in fear the time, whole time I was pregnant. And then, you know, I delivered a 2-pound, 1-ounce preemie baby. So it was just a very different experience. He's a healthy 29-year-old new father now. So it's, you know, everything has worked out so beautifully. But here I was, this like teenage mom with a special needs baby. So it was chaos. And you know, it was just this time was very different. From the moment I knew, and I knew before my menstrual period was even late, I knew, I started to feel it in my body. My dreams were telling me that I was pregnant. My dreams were telling me, you need more potassium. You need, like, I was starting to get in my dreams what teas to drink, what foods to eat more of. And so it just, I get goosebumps all over my whole body just thinking about, like, this experience of life growing inside of me that was so intentionally like procreated. And so I knew that this was the answer. Like, this was it. The cleansing was it. And so yes, and so I was pregnant. I got to experience that for about 6 weeks, and then my body ended the pregnancy. And, you know, I truly believe in the divinity of all experience. And so another thing that allowed for, like, my son was expecting his first child at the same time, and I really got to be present for my grandson coming into the world, because if I were to have still been pregnant, I would not have stepped foot into a hospital to be pregnant for him, because of how I feel about those environments and my own well-being. So it just aligned as it was meant to. And so after the pregnancy ended, in my grief, I went back to drinking coffee, 1 cup a day in the morning for a period of time. And then we went from California to Hawaii for a period of time looking for home. And there it was, like, all this fruit, wonderful fruit. And so I found myself eating fruit regularly and having a cup of coffee and staying fully dedicated otherwise to the work. So I was still drinking the juice and having a salad for lunch, and but adding in fruit like daily and acidic caffeine in the morning. And I was still doing my Enlightener about 4 times a week. It supported my grief process in that, like, well, I shouldn't say supported. It was how I coped with my grief process. And then my body, because this work is so like instant, what happens for me now is when I'm out of alignment, my body, it's like an immediate, like, you know, I get that smack right away. So the space for error, that margin is like really small now. So after eating fruit, I want to say I ate fruit every day for about a month. And then the following month, my menstrual cycle was painful. My ovaries were so upset with me for having that much sugar in my body that I had intense menstrual cramps. And so I was like, okay, all right, body, I got you. Like, here we are. I'm messing with my fertility again. I've done all this to like restore my fertility. And now the excess sugar is like destroying the fertility that I had, worked so hard to restore. And so I had to cut out the fruit. And so no more fruit in my diet. And so yeah, so coming back home after the experience, it was such a gift. One evening I was doing some vocal work and an ancestor came and just guided me through a grief process. And so it was like it was just everything I needed. And it, I was shedding from every orifice of my face and my body. And it just, I was able to just give it back, like compost it. And it, there was a shift, a complete shift. And so I didn't need the coffee anymore. I didn't, it was like I got to let that go and then get right back into like, okay, what is wanting to be birthed, what is wanting to be gestated now? And so, yes. So, another thing that I really want to touch on and share is when I came into this work. So, I've been serving as an oracle since 2019. And so, I've been very aware of a lot of my psychic abilities and gifts. But when I came into this community, the NRI community, I had a period of time in my 30s where I was doing a lot of, I went to Peru. I had many ayahuasca journeys. I was working with psychedelics. And while those were, there were experiences that I'm grateful I had, what they did was, completely destroy my hormones and it destroyed my light body. And so my light body had rips and tears. It wasn't integral. And so it could not hold my energy in and it could not protect me from what was around me. And so I was like a psychic sponge. And so just a year ago, coming into this community, I live rural. Like I'm out in nature, it's wonderful. But if I went into a city, if I went to visit family in a city and everything, I picked up everything and I had all of these attachments and it would take me days to feel better, to clear it, to let it move through me. And in the work that I do, serving as an oracle, right? It's like I'm creating and holding space. And so I would only do a few sessions a month because of what it took me to hold that and then to clear and cleanse after that. But a natural, this like natural strengthening, not only of the organs in my body, not only of the muscles in my body, but of my energetic field has been a result of this work. It's like in the clearing and in the cleansing and releasing the toxicity from my physical vessel, it has strengthened the field around me, my light body shield. And so my psychic abilities have greatly increased just in 1 year. My dreaming, my sleep is restful. I have a daily yoga practice. Like it's just I've transformed, but it feels like a transformation to myself. Like coming so deeply into myself. And it's so wonderful because in the years before I found your community or I was led here, my journaling, like the messages I was always getting from my guides was like purity, purify, purity. And I was late on coming to like the physical aspect of it. So I was for years working on purifying my thoughts, purifying my intentions, wanting to live virtuously, like wanting, and the last key component for me was this, the physical part of it. And now I finally can say, like, this is the key for the embodiment. Because everything I was doing before, like over 10 years in this deep spiritual journey, but I couldn't embody all that I was getting, all of the light codes that were constantly coming in and being shared with me. I could not embody them. I could not hold them in my vessel. And so the creating space through enlightening, using the enlightener, and just, all of the recapitulation. I have experiences even still. Like I do about four times a week, and I still have moments where something will be releasing from me, and I'll remember, oh my goodness, I remember this specific day when I had, for example, like I had diarrhea and I didn't want to go into the work bathroom, and so I held it. I held that into my body, and so I have those experiences of times that I actually like abused my body. I've had memories as I'm in session of like pharmaceuticals that I was put on as a teenager, and then and just graciously let that all go. Like, yes, things that from my early teenage years. And I've even had experiences when I'm using the enlightener where like a sexual experience I had with someone will come up, and that goes too. And so it's not just the food I've eaten. It's not only the pharmaceuticals I've taken. It so much gets released out of my cells and my tissues. And so it's yeah, I mean, I'm so grateful. yeah, and now, I mean, here I am at just over a year, and this January, my partner, my beloved, decided he would start with the enemas. And so, yes, there was something that came up this year, and you created a master class in February, and you shared that. And for our lovemaking, we actually, before we get really intimate, we lay together and we read an evocation out loud. And it's not only intending like what we're calling in and what we're creating together, but it's also a way of in the moment, releasing any old past energies and stuff from our bodies and energy fields. And so we do this before we make love. And if there is a time where we don't do that, I am tired the next day for like. I'm out of it the next day. And you spoke in the master class about how when one person's energy is here and the other person's energy is not there, that there can be a transfer of energy. And I had shared this months ago, like noticing the pattern, like, okay, this has happened four times now. So now there's no skipping it. Like, this is a mandatory. And he went along with it. Okay, great. No, I see you. You're laid up in bed all day the next day. Like, I get it. But hearing it from another person, like you spoke to it in the master class. It was in the fourth pillar. And hearing it from you, he watched it with me. It just really supported him understanding why this work is important, like why he's doing what he's doing. And it's not just to like make me happy, it's so that we can continue to grow together. So yeah, I'm feeling so grateful for just all the nuggets that I get in our community. And Yes, and in this work.
Wow, Shell, I feel like I'm on your wave. I'm in your aura right now. I'm just like feeling all of this and your journey, and I've just allowed myself to vibe with it and feel it. So I'm just enjoying it and integrating it, and I'm amazed by your wonderful attitude around the pregnancy and the way you understood it as your grandmother role, and just gosh, there's just so much, the richness that you embody, and making sense of this last piece for the wholeness that you now are, in the midst of, because the physical piece became complete. And now your partner being on the same page with you in terms of the colon cleansing aspect. I mean, this is wholeness. This is, I mean, those who watch this can see what, by looking at you, what wholeness looks like, and what it feels like, and what it sounds like, because it all comes through in the cadence of your speech, in the way you just shared all of this with us, the effortless truth that just, it's just what you are. And you don't have to try to do anything when we are in that state of harmonious embodiment of truth. It's just what emits from us. And the effect that that has on your loved ones, the fact that that has on your son and your new grandchild and on your partner and all of your friends and your family and those for whom you oracle or serve as an oracle. I mean, it's just, that's why we can't set the bar any lower than truth. Because look what we can accomplish. We can have that level of wholeness and then enrich the lives around us, enrich the earth sphere with that. It's like a fragrance that comes off of a flower. Everybody is enriched by it. Everybody is served by it. Everybody's elevated by it. Everyone has a higher vision of what beauty is, what wisdom is, what it feels like. I mean, your grandson is in your arms. Your grandson or granddaughter, actually, I don't know.
Grandson.
Grandson, okay.
Grandson.
I think he did say that, is in your arms. He's receiving that. He's soaking that up. Now, if our children, our earth children, had, and every single one of them had that, can you imagine, like, what a glorious sphere we would be existing within? I mean, so it's just that's why we do the work, to bring the wholeness back so that we can all be in this garden, each our own unique species of flower, as it were, or tree or fruit or whatever it is, expression of the life force, with its own fragrance, with its own colors, with its own composition, its own sound, its own melody, its own voice. It's like the, but it's all, and it's all exalting and exalted, and that's what I'm feeling from you, is this just beautiful, perfect pitch. Perfect, and pitch is, it's interesting because pitch is actually about angles, and we know that the right angles, the correct angles, are angelic. It's bringing order, and so perfect pitch brings that order. It's the perfect note. It strikes the perfect note, and because we're a composite, we're multiple notes, so we are a chord. So we, become the, part of the chorus and the orchestral and the symphony, and it all, it's all part of this beautiful, like, exquisite energetic sound, sight, sensation that we are when we're all in harmony and able to strike that note. Because that note, when struck, is so glorious, is so beautiful, and that's beauty. It's not these, facades and idolized versions of material objectification, like all that stuff that's sort of indoctrinated into us. This is beauty. You are beauty. You are the embodiment of beauty. And I just feel so privileged to be able to feel you and see you and be blessed by you. Seriously, it's like it's so profound to me. And I'd love for you, please carry on. I feel like there's so much more that you have to tell.
Well, since we went into beauty, one thing I'd like to share is when the beauty is coming from within us, then it surrounds us, completely surrounds us. Yesterday, it's rainy and cold here today, but yesterday the sun was out. So I spent my hour outside in the sun, and the birds were just filling the environment with their songs. And as I was sitting, the two cats came and they snuggled me, because it's like when you are harmony, when you're in balance, then nature is your kin. Like nature just wants to interact intimately with you, because it's like, oh, you are us. We are you. We're all the same. And so it's like, that's one of the ways I know I'm grounded. When I'm outside and I know I'm grounded, it's because all of nature is interacting with me. I had a deer sneak up and startle me because I didn't hear it approaching. And then I said, "You scared me." And it didn't run off. It just looked at me and was like, "Are you okay? You're okay." And then it went back to eating the flowers. And so that's been my experience in like transformation, is all of the world around you becomes beautiful when the beauty is within. And I recently, just in the last few days, I went to an area called Lake Tahoe. And I was in an area where there's a lot of shops and a lot of stuff. And it's just, anyway, there was, you know, it felt like chaos to me. And here, and it's a beautiful landscape, right? It's Lake Tahoe. There's all of this beautiful nature, but there was so much packed into where I was, houses and stores and shops and all this. And that's where it's like, oh, this is discordant. This is not the beauty. This is just filled with stuff. And so how,
noise.
Yes, the noise and all of it. And so when the beauty is within,
excuse me.
Bless you.
All that noise.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's good. I obviously was taking it all in.
What has become true for me is when my work is my work, and I'm doing my work for me with the intention for the greatest good of all of life, right? So it's like, my focus is always on me for the greatest good of all of life. And in that, my son, who I raised unconsciously, right? I became more conscious later in my 30s. And so he had a mother who, I was an alcoholic from, by the time I was 10 years old, I was an alcoholic. I was in AA meetings when I was 13. I mean, my history, I could do a whole thing on that. I was a runaway teenager. I had, you know, suicide attempts, all this stuff, just a lot of trauma in my early life. And then I raised my son the best I could with who I was, but I was troubled. And so he's a sweet, loving, kind young man. But I didn't have confidence. I didn't, you know, and so now he is who he is at 29. And so he makes the food choices that he knows from how I raised him, right? Which I don't promote his health and well-being, but it's what he knows. And I get to be this presence in his life now that shows him what health is, what it looks like, without telling him how to live his life. So they come, we're a couple hours away, and him and his fiance and my grandson, They come out and they stay overnight with us once a month. We don't have a TV. It's different here. There's going to be no sodas in the fridge and there's going to be no chips to snack on. And I tell them, you can bring what you want, just know it's not here. And when they come for what's here. And even though they're not like running out to change their lifestyle, it's making an impact softly, gracefully, and they keep coming back for more, right? It's like the noise isn't here. And so it's a little break for them. And even though they might not be conscious of what they're experiencing and what they're feeling, it feels good enough to them that they want to keep coming back for more of this. And so we don't go into the noisy, whirly world to visit them. They come here and they get to experience peace and quiet and nature and healthy food and no soda and no noise. No, so it's, yeah, it's, and being so clean from this work, there is not a part of me that wants to change anything about anyone in my family. I get to witness neutrally where they are and just support and love and share what I'm doing. So it's, there is no shoulds, needs tos, like I did a lot of that when he was growing up, but now I get to just be a presence of love. And so like, instead of calling me grandma, Kazu's only 5 months old now, but I'm teaching him to call me Tendo. And in Japanese, Tendo translates to sun and divine guidance. So I was like, yes, you'll call me Tendo. You'll know me as your Tendo because that will be my role in your life. The great solar sun holding you and loving you and the divine guidance in your life. So, yeah.
Wow, what a story, what a journey. I mean, just all of that. And I mean, it sounds like your son was your essence has always been with you. So even though you had some, let's say, interferences in your young life, he was still basking in his mother's glow, his the essence that was your truth, and he was receiving that. Even if you hadn't come into your full conscious awareness of alignment yet, that would have, he would have soaked that up, hence the man that he became under your mothering love, despite external circumstances. Wow. And okay, so that this has all been very, very elevated. Staying elevated, would love to, just because I think it'd be really helpful for those who are listening, would love for you to share how you, I mean, you really leapfrogged from very carnivorous kind of a diet into a very vegetable-centric diet. And that word diet, I know it's like it needs to be changed somehow. We don't love that word, but intake, let's say. Is there anything you want to share that would you believe would be helpful in terms of that transition for yourself and even just getting your head around colon cleansing? Was that something that was easy for you? Was the idea of having this contraption device that was irrigating your colon something that took a little bit of getting used to? What did you find was helpful? Anything in that category that you can share from a most like a very kind of not rudimentary, maybe the wrong word, but the most basic adaption of the work.
For myself, what really supported the transition into eating the salads, drinking the juice, eating the salads. I actually had made that transition a couple years ago, but because I wasn't aware of You've spoken to before about when you get into the cleansing lifestyle and you're not releasing how sick you can get. So when I first moved out into a rural area here and I had my first garden, I grew enough food to feed like 20 people. It was my first, I just went for it and I fell in love with it. And so I was eating salads and cucumbers and everything from my own garden, tomatoes every day. And I just made the leap back then and went full on. And I got really, really sick. Really, really sick. And so I backed off of that. And this time coming into it, when I came into it this time, what was happening for me was I was experiencing the aliveness I was experiencing. So the reason I loved psychedelics was because I would get into the bliss state, right? And I'm like, whoa, all of life is connected and I'm feeling it and I'm so connected to source and all of life. And I just would have these blissful experiences. Well, when I cut out the processed foods and I started eating super cl this clean, 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 I was having that experience just sitting outside eating my salad. So I would make my salad and I would go sit in the sun, and it's like a bird would fly by and I'd be in tears because it was like I felt the connectedness. And then an ant could crawl on me. And again, it was like it was so intense. It was really intense. It was like I was on a journey. It's like it felt like I was in a super conscious journey. And so I loved that. Like that was what helped me to keep it going because I wanted that. And then the other part was in seeing family members and friends, like in the first couple months of doing it, everybody was like, "You look different. Oh my gosh, like what are you doing? I want to do what you're doing. Like you are just glowing. Like you look younger. You look this. You like, you know, what is it? What's the secret?" And yeah, I was like, well, I cut out all the crap. I'm eating clean and I'm getting the waste out. So those were the things that helped me. It was like receiving that feedback from others outside that like that you could see what I was doing was changing my energy, my appearance, like everything. Yeah, that was really inspiring for me to keep going with the diet. And the other part of that I'll say is after even maybe just a month, the taste of a tomato became sweet enough for me. I'm like, whoa, like the tomatoes in my salad are like candy now. And the simplest meal has so much flavor in it now. The colon cleansing, I did not love the enema because when I started, I was doing it like 5 days a week, maybe even up to seven. And the plastic applicator was making my little bum sore because, you know, I would do maybe 3 to 4 bags and the in and out, it was like the enlightener came just in time because I don't know that I would have stayed so dedicated because that was a challenge for me. And when the enlightener came, it was life-changing. I could go a full hour and it was so satisfying to see what is leaving my body. You know, now that I'm a year into it, it's so nice because I have my own art studio now and I have a bathroom in it with a clawfoot tub and then the toilet's across. So I get in the tub and it's roomy enough that I get to like do my forward folds and like kick my right leg up and all the things and put the podcast on and just like enjoy it. I have room for it. In the beginning, I had a like cramped little area, but everything has aligned for me to continue in this work. So, yeah.
Oh, I love hearing that. It's that's just remarkable. And now your partner will will also graduate eventually from NMI to Enlightener and see it. But it's time well spent. When you have the Enlightener, you know what to expect. You know it's going to pour. With the NMI, it's like kind of always a little touch and go, but it's a great place to start. It's good to know that that's an option, but I'm really happy to hear you say that because it is, you know, it's a little bit different, a little unusual. When you mentioned to your friends and family in the waste out and they asked questions about that, what was their response and how did you feel about sharing that part of it?
Oh, I've always been quite the sharer, so nobody's surprised. I was shocked at how many people I know that have gone to a colon hydrotherapy like session in the past and were like, oh, maybe I'll revisit that. And a couple of my friends actually were like, I have an Enema bag. It's like 10 years old, but I used to do it. And you lay on your left side, right? You know, and they kind of knew some of what to do already from remembering from a long time ago. So it does, it inspires people to like revisit it. And even those who are like, no, I'm not ready for that. You know, not feeling called to that. It's, I feel like I'm planting seeds.
Absolutely. Wow. And in terms of the parasites, I mean, we haven't spoken much about the parasites and the hormones, which were both issues for you. Do you want to speak a little bit to how you perceive that to have significantly changed, both that there was maybe an occurrence of a presence of parasites versus not, as well as your hormones being out of whack and now clearly not. So
yes,
please share on.
I will. My goodness, if anyone's got like a sensitive weak stomach, forgive me. When I first did SCRAM in the cleanse, it was like day two, only day two of taking SCRAM. And it was in my, so I have a natural bowel movement every morning before I do my Enlightener session. And it was in my natural bowel movement that I witnessed myself pass two tapeworms. And I'd say they were about 8 inches long. I know, I didn't know what to do. I'm like, do I go grab a jar and save it? Cause I like wanted to show my partner. And then at the same time, I mean, I probably should have been more grossed out, but I was fascinated and I was satisfied because I was like, this makes sense. Like this to me makes sense. Like everything I've been experiencing, they've been taking it all. Like no wonder I was malnutritioned. No wonder I was just like deteriorating. Like they were taking everything. And so
you talked about how you saw yourself aging in real time. It was like that would have been terrifying. Meanwhile, something is sucking your life force. And so, yeah, carry on.
Yes. So it was satisfying. And I told all my friends, like, hey, brace your stomach. But guess what? Because I want people to know, like, this is all of us. Like my friends like sushi, my friends like salad, my friend, you know, it's all of us. A lot of my dear friends have traveled internationally and, you know, eaten in questionable places. And I can see now, like I love that you're continuously talking and sharing to us all about the eyes, that the eye that sees, because in this work, my all-seeing eyes have become so sharp. What's interesting is because of the coffee that I was drinking, my actual true vision became blurry. And I have had, well, it's getting better now, much better, but for several months I had blurry vision and I wouldn't go see any Western medical doctor because I knew I could clear it. I was like, this is the result of what I did. I get it. And so I also know I can heal it. But as my viewing eyes were weakening, my spiritual eyes were strengthening. And so I can look at people now and see and recognize what's going on in the body. And so, yes, it's amazing how all of my senses really became sharper. My first week using the Enlightener, my sense of smell, which was already, everybody always could ask me, come, can smell this, come smell this. I had the nose. And in 1 week of using the Enlightener, how I first noticed it is because I dream journal every morning and the ink bothered me. It was like the ink in my pen smelled toxic. Just like that fast, within a few days of using this, it was like, oh, this is offensive. This is toxic. And so it's just continued. Like now, with my sense of smell, I actually, beyond the scent of something, I can pick up what's in my energy field, what is discordant through my scent, my sense of smell. And the same with my hearing. So and the more I cleanse through using the Enlightener, it's like the more all of my senses sharpen, become online. Maybe sharpen's not the right word, but increase, enlighten.
We become like an antenna and everything just is so alive. And your description of the just being in your garden and the rarefied, the almost like psychedelic journey that you felt you were on, just being in your own being, just clear, just more and more clear. I experience that all the time. And I remember when that first happened, when I first went through the cleansing process, like early days, like within the first few weeks, I've suddenly just everything just became almost like it was in black and white and went into Technicolor. And Gil would say, he would refer to it as an improved life experience. And it was like I got exactly what he meant by that, because I could feel my life experience improving. Just the ex experience of being here in my consciousness, in this, interfacing with life and the world was so it like just came into focus, but not just the vision or even the inner sight, but the sensation, the sensory experience of being alive was heightened in a really good way, where there was all this like clarity. You could feel the frequency of life so much more strongly, and it felt so good because life feels so good. We also detect the world and its toxicity, but that's good because it means our antenna is sharp enough to know what's toxic and what's not. Whereas before, you would walk into spaces and not even notice if something maybe had been sprayed or if there was, some forever chemicals coming off of a rug. You wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't have put it in that kind of terminology in those days. But now I kind of know what I mean, all those, you pick it up. You just pick it up and you know what to do with it. You need to, to like hightail it on out of there if you need to. But you also pick up on the goodness. And that's like it just makes life so rich. So often people will kind of wonder why, like when you live such a simple life, like you're so happy in nature. I'm so happy with my peace and solitude. If I'm left for days at a time by myself, I'm just like, it's wonderful. I'm totally satisfied. And I don't need any stimulation. People are often a little bit like they don't understand that. And it's hard to explain it unless you're in it, because you're so richly experiencing life. Everything, the aliveness quotient, the amplitude of aliveness is so high that you don't actually want anything to interfere with it. You don't want to consume anything in that moment. You don't, there's a time for that, but it does mean that there's a price to be paid. So, at a certain point, yeah, you want to be celebrating with friends and maybe having some wine and having food with them and doing those things. But it means that you're going to have to walk away from this thing. And when you're making that conscious choice, but it's like, it's you look forward to getting back to that too. You're happy with both in a way that it really you wouldn't know if you hadn't had the clearing, the great clearing, the great unburdening of the senses. The senses become unburdened and then they pick up on so much more, and then you become so much more alive. And I also, like you, went into spaces where I didn't understand why people thought life was a good idea, and I didn't want to hang out here any longer. And to go from knowing that end of the spectrum of not wanting to be here and the feeling of absolute amplitude of life force running through you, knowing what life really is, it's like, you know, it's quite something. And it's almost, when I think about it, all those very, very dense energy places that I was in enabled me to appreciate where I would come so much, you know, so much more, and also appreciate where, you know, where most people dwell because of the insult to life, which is the world that's put upon us so much, and so much greater than even, you know, when I was a kid in the 70s and 80s, when, if you, when I think back, it's like life did look and feel lighter, and people did smile more, and there was more of a an ease of life, where, and young people today look so just burdened, really burdened. And that's why, you know, it's like this understanding that it doesn't have to be like that. And we have real tools, and those tools free us. And did you notice at all with when you had the parasitic overgrowth, you haven't spoken much about addictions, other than you mentioned, you know, when you're in your very young life with the alcoholism, but in terms of food addictions and those parasites and their appetites, did you struggle at all with that? Was there a kind of a tug of war in that area?
Yes, because my alcoholism went into my 30s, and I healed that around in my early 40s, just naturally from doing the deep work. And when I entered the relationship with my beloved now, he would always bring home candy bars and put them in this one drawer, and he liked really good dark chocolate, but we would eat a bar in a day, like we'd split a bar. And in the past, I had sugar through alcohol because I liked wine, and then I was like a potato chip eater, so nasty potato chips and wine. And then I let go of the alcohol, but then there was chocolate. So what I have now, and it's one of those things, I'm like, it's my thing, I love it, and I let myself have it, is there's a candy bar called Lily's. Lily's is the brand, and they use stevia, so it's zero sugar. And they have little strips. It's like five little tiny bars. And so I have a little strip. After I have my healthy lunch, I'll sit down and I just treasure my five little squares of dark chocolate every day. But I definitely had a really hard time letting go of honey in my morning drink, and the chocolate. So but for me, it wasn't like, I didn't have the strong addiction ever to the candy like I did the alcohol. And I'd say I let go of the honey probably just a year ago. When I got into this work, I was still putting honey in my morning drink every day. And now I'm actually satisfied. Like I had such a great aha yesterday, because we came home from a couple days out of town, and the place we were staying had everything you could imagine on the counter that would be bad for me. There was like Godiva chocolate, there were chips, there were just everything, wine, hard kombucha, all of this. And I didn't want any of it. Like, because of the environment I was in, I was like, no, I don't want that here. At home, sure, if once in a while I want a little bit of red wine, I can't drink more than half a glass now, because one glass, it's like it puts me over, and I don't feel well the next day. But if I want a little bit like that in my home, where I have the energy, is feels good here, I will have that. I would not open my field, like I wouldn't have alcohol in a public place anymore because of how it opens my field and then what I'm susceptible to. But so I didn't, even though I was with a friend, the place didn't feel good to me. So I didn't even want the chips that they had. It was like, I'll have chips, but I'll go to the store and I'll get Siete, which For me right now, that's something I still let myself have. It's cassava flour, avocado oil. It's really light. And so it's like if I'm gonna have what I call my cheat, like I'm gonna make myself guacamole and I'll have this. And I know when I'm doing it, actually, that I'm like, well, I know that this isn't life generating, but I'm gonna enjoy it right now. This is okay. Like it's okay for me to have this treat. And so there's that that happens as well, right? It's like every choice I make now, I'm conscious of what it is, whether it's giving me life or not. And so
Well,
I'm.
and it's also a transition, and you live with an enlightener, so it's fine. Like you don't, if you didn't live with an enlightener, then it might build up. But if it's not building up and you can get away with it, do what you can get away with is sort of the motto, really, when you're in every phase.
Yeah, great.
I mean, I do my wine, cheese, and chocolate. I wouldn't do that if I didn't live with an enlightener, but I do, and I can get away with it. So I'm gonna enjoy it. Why not? We have enough things that we the pleasures that are doable can remain. We don't have to let go of them. So yeah, it's good. Wow. I'm sure that the group will probably have lots of questions for you around the psychedelics and the ayahuasca and all of that too. And maybe that's something that if there are questions that maybe be willing to respond when once we post this, because I've kept you for so long now, but it's just been so enriching. I couldn't resist. But thank you for all you've shared. And I really do think there will be additional questions, but yeah, it's been magnificent. You are magnificent. And I'm so grateful for this time we've shared together and everything you've so beautifully communicated. You just are, you are a wonderful voice for the rarefied communication that not you know that that just to invite those who are in this work maybe for more of the physical reasons to see just what they can become and just how much can be incorporated into their true wholeness so that their that note can sound and resound through them the way it so clearly is expressed and emitted from you, and we receive that. And everyone who listens to this is going to receive that and be blessed by it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be here and to connect with the community even deeper. I'm so grateful and so grateful for all that you share and that very clear, pure chalice that you are. Thank you, Natalia.
So much. Well, blessings. All right. Well, to be continued. That was awesome. That really was amazing, Shell. And I mean, bear in mind that in another year's time, you're going to even reach a, and I mean, it may be hard to believe because you're in such a set state of wholeness now, but a year of cleansing in your mid to late 40s, I mean, this in a really good way. You've really just begun.
I'm so grateful to hear that because we're going to go to Fiji for 3 months, in beginning in July to see if that's where we want to live, to see if we want to make that work because I'm still keeping the vision of potentially parenting. And so I want to keep doing this work because if I continue to do this work and I'm finding in myself that I'm reversing the aging, and then I'm totally fertile and I have it. I want to birth, but I want to, birth more Christ consciousness into the world in a place where I am living like in nature and away from the worldly world. And also like what came up last year that was maybe I wasn't ready for is I want to have a completely wild pregnancy with no interference from, and to be able to, yes, to be the embodiment of natural birth and raising a family in purity. And so I'm keeping that alive in myself, and that's part of what I feel like my mission gets to be. It's like, anchoring that wild mama So when you say, oh, a year from now, I'm like, great, because a year from now might be when I'm ready to like call that in. So.
Yeah, you're clearing the womb, you're clearing the tissues at large. I see you in that juicy mama glowing abundance. I can so see you pregnant. And I mean, I'd be surprised if you weren't pregnant now. You have that look about you of like absolute like goddess of fertility. So yes, to that. And you know what's so funny? I was getting really frustrated with the whirling world a few weeks ago. I was like, I just need to get out of here. Like, I actually shouldn't live here anymore. And where do I go? And you know what came to my mind was Fiji. I was very clear. It was like Fiji. And then I looked on the map. I was like, I didn't realize it was so close to New Zealand. So this is like how far I got. I thought it was closer to Hawaii. So it's like kind of gonna get a dig, but Hawaii has gotten so busy too. Like I just wanted to get away from everything. I'm just finished with it all. And Fiji was the place that came to mind for me too. So
Interesting. Yes. Yeah, because we loved like the climate of Hawaii, and but it was like being in California on an island.
exactly. Yeah.
So we're like, no, we've got to go further.
Yeah, I gotta do something that's legitimately jungle. Jungle with ocean and warmth and all those factors. I love that. That's amazing. Well, yeah, I expect company in that case. I
Okay. All
expect
right.
visitor. This has been awesome. You know, I didn't know what to expect actually in our call. And I do remember meeting you last year on the video. It took me a second as I put everything together. And I was like, and it all came through. But it will be interesting at some point to re-watch that conversation because you know, just kind of see the evolution of your energy field too. I mean, at some point it could be interesting, maybe not. But you were glorious, and thank you for this time together. I guarantee you have blessed, you will be blessing everyone who's exposed to this.
Thank you. That's the purpose. Yeah.
Very special. You're so unique.
Oh, thank you. And so are you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad we found each other.
It was as you were speaking, there was something I was gonna share during the call. And it's funny, it's like, no, it was meant for now, but it was like that spiritual eyes can see, you know, and so it's very easy for us to see each other, like truly see each other.
It's true. Yeah. Exactly
Yeah.
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm sure you've already maybe been exposed to it, but it just made me think of the where you are in your mothering path and everything. Have you read the Anastasia series?
Yes.
Okay.
And so it's interesting you bring that up because if you have just another moment. So when my body let the pregnancy go, I was on a hike, but I was outside of our property. And because of what I do, I'm also like, I get called sometimes to be in different parts of the world to just be there as like, you know, because of what we do, right? We transform the energy in our environment. And so I get called sometimes to be just in a place. And what happens when I'm in one of those situations, I experience like the most pain you could ever imagine in my physical body. And sometimes then I'm just like purging out of both ends because it's just this extreme wrenching pain through me. But I'm like transmuting what's in the environment, what's in the land. And I was on a hike and that happened to me. And like the last time it had happened, I was on Mount Shasta the year before and it happened. And then it happened and it ended my pregnancy. And I very clearly got a message that just like in the Anastasia series, when I decide to, you know, bring Christ consciousness into my body to bring onto the earth. It was like, you will procreate at home. You will live there. You will not leave while you're pregnant. Like, you will do as you do and set the space on the property where you live, and that will be where you are. And you are not to be outside of that. And so it's interesting that you brought that up because it was a very clear message. It was like, nope, that's what you'll do. You'll eat from the land. You'll procreate on the land. You'll eat from the land. You'll deliver on the land. Like, that will be your sanctuary. And you won't leave. And I was like, okay, great. That sounds great. Oh,
Tell us your husband's collars, the beautiful threads. And that's what she would do. She would lay, I mean, I remember those scenes in the book where she was transmuting all of that too. Like, you know, she was receiving the heaviness of the earth. And she would remember there were those scenes she was doing exactly what you described.
yes. I should revisit. It's been a while. Yes.
Which makes sense. Also, why in the beginning of our conversation, there's a sense of like, even if we're not doing anything, we're doing something.
Yeah.
You are already. Yeah, you've already been deep into that. Wow. Goodness me. Shall it's wonderful to be in contact. And anything ever comes up, please reach out. I will always be so delighted to hear from you.
Thank you.